Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we're diving into one of the most rewarding parts of your GCSE English Literature course, the Love and Relationships Poetry Anthology. Whether you're just starting out with these poems or you're in full revision mode, this episode is going to give you everything you need to feel confident walking into that exam. Over the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover the core concepts and key poems, break down exactly what examiners are looking for, tackle the most common mistakes students make, run through a quick-fire recall quiz, and finish with a clear summary you can take away and use. So grab a pen and paper. Yes, actually write things down because retrieval practice is one of the most powerful revision tools you have. And let's get started. Let's begin with the big picture. The Love and Relationships Anthology is a collection of poems that explore the full spectrum of human connection, from passionate, all-consuming love to heartbreak, loss, desire, power, and the complex dynamics that exist between people. What makes this anthology so rich is that the poems span centuries and cultures, giving you a huge range of voices, perspectives, and poetic styles to work with. Now, the first thing I want you to understand is what the examiners actually want from you. In OCR GCSE English Literature, your poetry comparison question is assessed across three assessment objectives. AO1 is about your personal response and interpretation, your argument, your ideas, your engagement with the poems. AO2 is about the writer's methods, how the poet uses language, structure, and form to create meaning. And AO3 is about context, the social, historical, or biographical factors that shape the poem's perspective. All three need to be present in your answer, but they should be woven together, not separated into different paragraphs. Let's talk about the key themes you'll need to master. The first is passionate love. Think about how Elizabeth Barrett Browning in Sonnet 43 uses the anaphora of "I love thee." That repetition of the phrase at the start of each clause creates an almost overwhelming sense of devotion. The speaker isn't just telling us she loves. She's cataloging the depth and breadth of that love. The Petrarchan sonnet form itself is significant here. It's a form traditionally associated with idealized, worshipful love, and Barrett Browning uses it to express a love that feels almost spiritual in its intensity. Contrast that with the presentation of desire and longing in poems like When We Two Parted by Lord Byron. Here, the tone is completely different, cold, bitter, full of shame and secrecy. Byron uses the sibilance of silence and tears to create a hissing, sorrowful sound that mirrors the speaker's quiet grief. The poem's regular A-B rhyme scheme gives it a controlled, almost suppressed quality, as if the speaker is holding their emotions in check, which makes the pain feel even more powerful. The second major theme is power and control in relationships. Charlotte Mews' The Farmer's Bride is a fascinating poem to analyze here. The farmer speaks about his young wife as if she were a wild animal to be caught and tamed. We caught her, fetched her home at last. The use of collective pronouns like we strips the woman of her individuality and agency. The poem is deeply uncomfortable to read, and that discomfort is entirely intentional. Mew was writing in the early 20th century, and the poem reflects the social reality of women being treated as property within marriage. This is where your contextual knowledge earns you marks, not by stating women had fewer rights in 1912 as a separate fact, but by weaving it into your analysis of how Mew uses the farmer's voice to critique those very power structures. The third theme I want to highlight is memory and the passage of time. Many of the anthology poems explore how love is affected by time, how it fades, how it's preserved in memory, how loss transforms it. Christina Rossetti's Remember asks the beloved to remember the speaker after death, but then performs a volta, a turn, in the final sestet, releasing them from that obligation. Better by far you should forget and smile than that you should remember and be sad. That shift in the poem's argument is structurally significant. The Petrarchan sonnet form, with its clear octave and sestet division, enacts the very change of heart the speaker describes. This is exactly the kind of analysis that earns marks at the higher levels, linking form to meaning. Now, a word about comparison, because this is where many candidates lose marks. The question will ask you to compare how two poets present a particular theme or idea. The key word is compare, not describe, not summarize, but compare. That means you should be moving between both poems in every paragraph, not writing about one and then the other. Use comparative connectives. Similarly, In contrast, whereas, both poets, unlike, these signal to the examiner that you're genuinely comparing, not just describing in sequence. Right, let's talk exam technique because knowing the poems is only half the battle. The single most common mistake I see in student responses is what examiners call feature spotting. This is where a candidate identifies a technique. The poet uses a metaphor here, but doesn't go on to explain what effect that metaphor creates or why the poet chose it at that particular moment. Every time you name a technique, you must analyze its effect. Ask yourself, what does this make the reader feel? What does it suggest about the speaker's state of mind? How does it connect to the poem's wider themes? The second big mistake is treating context as a separate paragraph. I've seen so many responses where students write three analytical paragraphs and then add a paragraph at the end that says, "The poem was written in the Victorian era when women had fewer rights." That earns very few marks. Context needs to be integrated, woven into your analysis so that it deepens your interpretation rather than sitting alongside it. Third, don't confuse the poet with the speaker. The speaker of the poem is a persona, a constructed voice. When you write, say, the speaker, or the persona, rather than Byron says, or Browning feels, this shows the examiner that you understand the distinction between the author and their creation. Fourth, plan before you write. I know it feels like you're wasting time, but 5 minutes of planning, a quick mind map or bullet list, will make your response far more coherent. Examiners reward well-structured arguments, and you can only construct one if you know where you're going before you start. Finally, on quotations, choose short, precise quotations and embed them fluently into your sentences. The poet's use of silence and tears creates is far more effective than copying out an entire stanza and then commenting on it vaguely. Okay, pen at the ready. Here's your quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask 5 questions. Pause after each one if you need time to think. Question 1. What is a volta, and in which poem does a clear volta appear? Question 2. Name 2 techniques used in Sonnet 43 and explain the effect of each. Question 3. What is the collective pronoun we suggest in The Farmer's Bride? Question 4. Name the 3 assessment objectives for the poetry comparison question. Question 5. What is the difference between a simile and a metaphor? Give an example of each from any poem in the anthology. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, make a note and go back to review that section of your notes. The act of testing yourself, even when you get things wrong, is one of the most effective ways to strengthen your memory. Let's bring it all together. The Love and Relationships Anthology rewards students who can do 3 things well: analyze language at the word level, link form and structure to meaning, and integrate context into their argument rather than bolting it on. Remember, every paragraph needs a clear comparative point, embedded evidence from both poems, analysis of the writer's methods, and a link to context or wider meaning. That's your Peel framework: point, evidence, analysis, link, and it's your best friend in the exam. The poems in this anthology are genuinely beautiful and thought-provoking. The more you engage with them as real human expressions of love, loss, and longing, the more naturally the analysis will flow. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing time comparisons, and remember, every time you test yourself rather than just rereading, you're building the kind of deep knowledge that earns top marks. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.